The gospel creates shaming behavior in those who don't like it. That's their only defense, to shame you. I invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, believing and preaching the gospel is what's bringing shame onto Paul. Before this verse functions to deliver him from shame, it functions to shame him. Let me just give you some examples of how this works for the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 11:23, when he preaches the gospel in far more labors, he says, I am in far more labors, in more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. Paul's way of not being ashamed was not that he keep himself in a good light with other people. It was not that he had enough savvy so that he could always maneuver his way through life, getting people to approve what he did. That's one way to avoid the shame problem in the world. Always calculate your behavior so that people like you. You will be a slave if you do that. You will be a second-hander and in bondage all your life long if you try to avoid shame by pleasing other people. Jesus looked at shame in the face and said, I despise you. I despise you. I will not yield to you. I will not give you any satisfaction. You may do with me whatever you please in the short run. I will not obey you. I will not follow you. I will not give in to you. I despise you, shame, and I will not let you rule me. That's what Jesus did with shame. He despised shame. He gave shame no place. And with every truckload of shame that was dumped on Jesus, he said, I despise it all. I will give it no space in my heart. I will not be ashamed of my Father. How did he do that? How did he get the power to despise the shame? Verse 2 of Hebrews 12 says, for the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame. So how are you going to overcome your feelings of shame today and tomorrow and the next day? You're going to say this. The gospel is the power of God to bring people to salvation. You're going to look beyond the immediate shame and you're going to say, that's how. And so the way you're going to be shamed today is not by being accused of being wrong, but believing that others are wrong or that there is such a thing as wrong. So mark it. Here's my closing word. You will be shamed for the gospel, but you do not have to be ashamed of the gospel.
Welcome to Echo Zoe Radio. I'm your host, Andy Olson, proprietor of EchoZoe.com. Thanks for joining me for another episode. This is number 19 for November 2009. In this episode, I talked to Becky Christensen. Becky is a local representative of Voice of the Martyrs, We're going to talk about who they are, what they do, and what we can do as Christians to help our persecuted brethren, as well as some of the persecution that's going on around the world. That opening bit that you heard was a clip that I pulled down from 1031 Sermon Jams, and so I want to thank the folks there for putting that together and for granting permission to use that, and you can check them out at 1031sermonjams.com. I thought it appropriate to include that in this episode because we're going to be talking about Christians who are definitely not ashamed of their Savior. With that said, we'll just jump right in here, discussion with Becky. So welcome, Becky. Thanks for coming in today to do the podcast. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate being here.
You're the local area representative of Voice of the Martyrs.
That's right.
So maybe we'll kick off. Just tell us a little bit about what Voice of the Martyrs is and what they do. I think most people probably have heard of them, but
okay. Voice of the Martyrs is an international organization that's to serve the needs of the persecuted church throughout the world. And we serve in countries like China, Colombia, Pakistan, North Korea, Cuba, Bangladesh, India, Indonesia, Laos, those countries that are primarily in the 1040 window. The Christians there in those regions, either they're persecuted for their faith because the country is hostile to Christianity, or they are actually forbidden to worship Christ, and it's an anti-Christianity country, which would be Christianity is totally restricted there. So Voice of the Martyr has five main purposes to help serve the church. And our purposes are based on Hebrews 13:3. Remember those who are in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. And remember those who are suffering as if you yourselves were being mistreated. So in order to fulfill that purpose, we help families of the persecuted. We try to help the persecuted themselves. We try to equip believers in those countries with Bibles and literature and letters of encouragement or other items that they might need to just share their faith. And we try to fulfill the Great Commission in those areas of the world. As well as one of our, the reason there's area representatives all over the world is to inform other believers of the atrocities that are happening to Christians in this century. Many Christians aren't aware that more Christians are being persecuted and killed for their faith in the 20th century than all previous centuries combined.
Wow. You mentioned the 1040 window. What's the 1040 window?
That's a window where the primary, the 10 degrees...
North latitude?
North and 40 degrees south. Where most of the persecution takes...
10 degrees south to 40 degrees north?
Uh-huh. Okay. Where most of the persecution takes place in the world. So those countries like Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, North Korea, China, Tibet, Nepal, those are the countries in that window.
Okay.
Primarily. There's also Colombia and other countries.
You mentioned before we started about the founding of Voice of the Martyrs. How did they get started?
Yes. Actually, this is kind of why I became an area representative, too, because when I was 10 years old, the founder of Voice of the Martyrs, Richard Wombrand, came to my church, and he showed the wounds of his faith for that he had received on account of his faith. Actually, he grew up in Romania, and there was a godly Jewish carpenter that was asked God if he could bring someone to Christ, and he wanted to bring one Jew to Christ before he died. And so he prayed to God that God would send him someone because he was too elderly and frail to come out of his village down the mountain. And God sent him Richard and Sabina Wombrand. And he became a Christian in 1937 by this godly carpenter. Then in 1941, there was the Nazi invasion. And both Richard and Sabina began to witness to the Nazis, and they shared with the Germans, and they were arrested and persecuted and suffered because of that. But then Romania became communist in 1944, and Richard continued to preach to the Russians at that time, but the Russian army and the Russians within his own country, his own countrymen, his Romanian countrymen. But in 1945, there was something called the Congress of the Cults, where Richard and Sabina and all the other Christians in Romania were invited to this Congress of the Cults, where they were supposed to pledge allegiance to communism.
Oh, wow.
And one by one, the pastors came up to pledge allegiance, and Sabina leaned over to Richard at that time and said, "Wipe the shame off Jesus Christ's face." And so he said, "Well, you know what this means if I do this." And she said, yes, she understood that. But he stood up and said, "I pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ alone."
Well, good for him.
And because of his bravery, he was a marked man. And after that, then he was arrested several times, and he spent 14 years in Romanian prisons until finally he was ransomed by the Swiss government for $10,000 in 1965. And after that, he went on an international tour to spread the word about what was happening in communist countries. In 1967, then, he started the organization which was at that time called Jesus to the Communist World. And later, they changed the name to Voice the Martyrs, because it's just not the communist nations where Christians are being persecuted, and he wanted to reach out to all those countries where it's very dangerous and very hard to be a Christian. So that's how the ministry got started, was through Richard Wurmbrand and his bravery. He was, even when he was released and ransomed, he was threatened and warned not to give his testimony or share Christ.
Wow, that's not a great story. Maybe we could talk a little bit about a few of the countries that you follow. I just read yesterday an interesting story about President Obama being over in China. And actually, when Bush was president and he'd go to China, he used to do what he can to put pressure on the Chinese to open up religious liberty over there. Not necessarily for Christianity, but just for anybody. And Obama apparently has been very withdrawn when it comes to freedom of religion, and is over in China avoiding anything to do with religion and churches and that. And so it was kind of a timely story to read about him over there. Yeah. But maybe we talk a little bit about China. It seems to be the hotbed right now.
A lot of persecution in China. It's very dangerous to be a Christian in China. In China, they have something called the TCPM, which is the government-controlled church. So that's the Chinese government's way of saying that we have freedom of religion here. You can go to church. But the government church does not allow freedom of religion. So many of the Christians there go to underground churches. They meet secretly, sometimes literally underground, sometimes in the woods, sometimes in people's homes with the shades drawn. Sometimes they just bring like a page of their Bible, so if their meeting gets busted by the police, that they haven't lost their whole entire Bible. And so it's very hard for them to be Christians there. In addition to that, there aren't enough Bibles in China. There's only one printing press that makes Bibles, and that's Amity Printing Press in China. And so because of that, the Chinese people don't have enough Bibles. That's another thing that Voice of the Martyrs does for the Chinese, is they send Bibles into China through a program called Bibles Unbound.
My wife and I actually participate in that. We've been doing it for over a year. It's been a
very
rewarding process. You know,
it's wonderful to think that you're sending Bibles in an area where they can't.
Every month they send me 5 Chinese New Testaments, and I put them in the envelopes and then resend them on to a processing center, and they give you the name so you know who to pray for. And so it's really a great program.
It is a great program, and there's just not enough Bibles for the Christians there. So and the human rights issues and as far as religion are terrible. Presently, there's a man there. His name is Gao Zhijing, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but he received the Nobel Prize for representing Christians. Actually, he's a lawyer, and so he represented them in court when they were taken to court for various religious violations, and he became a Christian through representing them. Wow. And after that, the government removed his, you know, his practice, his
Disbarred him, basically?
He was disbarred, and he was not allowed to practice law anymore. And then they started torturing him and threw him in jail. And as of presently, his whereabouts aren't known, and he continues to be persecuted for his faith in Christ. And his family is, a lot of times, the family is left destitute or without means of income because the breadwinner is in jail, and those that help families of Christians are persecuted too. Gayo's family is currently in the United States. They escaped, but we're still praying for Gayo's release and writing letters to the Chinese embassy to help secure his release. But he's one example of a man that is really living out his faith for Christ, really loves the Lord.
And such a stark contrast to here at home, where the worst persecution we got to worry about is maybe being made fun of or shouted at or something. I mean,
right.
We're typically not beaten or thrown in jail for professing Christ.
Right,
here.
Exactly. Or for representing somebody who's just treated unfairly. That was his crime, was representing Christians and being a Christian man.
Somewhere I came across some Voice of the Martyrs material that talked about China and said that some areas are better than others. And as I understand it, it's kind of up to the local governor.
It is.
How Christians are treated.
It is. There's some areas where the Christians aren't as monitored. Mm-hmm. It's a large country, and so it's hard to make a huge generalization about the degree of persecution that's going on in all different areas of China. But in general, it's very hard and very dangerous to be a Christian there.
Okay. How about some of these other countries? I mean, like North Korea is one that piques my interest.
North Korea is the area of the world where worst persecution takes place. That's probably the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. And Voice of the Martyrs sends in scripture balloons. They fill up balloons, and then they have like time release on them so the scripture will land in different parts of North Korea. That's one thing we do to bring in scripture for them. And we also broadcast radio into their country. A lot of the North Korean Christians are actually fleeing into China for safety.
Wow.
That's how hard it is for them.
I once read a story about the camps there. There's camp, I can't remember, there was a number, Camp 93 or something like that.
I don't recall that.
Oh, it's basically a modern-day concentration camp, and it's believed that there are a lot of Christians there. It doesn't officially exist as far as the North Korean government says, according to the world and stuff, but I'll have to look that up, maybe put that in the links when I post the show. But
sure.
I remember, it's been a while since I read the story, but it was an interesting story. Definitely worth praying for people.
We have just had a prayer update from Colombia. On September 21st, Pastor Manuel was a pastor in Colombia who was shot by the FARC guerrillas. The FARC is the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. And they didn't like him holding church services. So they had asked him to pay them for him to hold services. So the church gathered money so that they could pay the FARC guerrillas so they could hold services. But instead he came, and in front of his wife and children, the FARC guerrillas shot and killed him. And his testimony, his wife gives the testimony of what happened on our website, www.persecution.com. So you can read more about what's happening in Colombia too, because it's very hard to be a Christian there as well.
That's a good one to talk about. That's a little closer to home, and we don't think about,
right,
at least I don't typically think about South America and Central America as being places of a lot of persecution. Now, FARC, as I understand it, is a communist outfit. They're communistic, is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, some of the things we do for Christians in Colombia is provide something called action packs, and that's something other believers can do, providing the families of the persecuted with necessities for life, blankets, coats, toothbrush, just basic needs items. And it means so much to the families of martyrs to know that they're being prayed for by other Christians. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we love them, that we share in their sufferings. I'd like to read a quote by Richard Wurmbrand, which I think sums up the purpose of the, or one purpose of the organization. He said, "When I was beaten on the bottom of my feet, my tongue cried. Why did my tongue cry? It was not beaten. It cried because the tongue and the feet are both part of the same body. And you free Christians are part of the same body of Christ that is now beaten in prisons in restricted nations. Will you not hear our message? Remember us. Help us. Don't abandon us." And that's the message of Voice of the Martyr, and that's why it's important to get the word out about what Christians are going through in these parts of the country, so we can pray for them, we can encourage them, we can write letters to them, we could send those action packs with necessary items in there, blankets, and other things that we can do to encourage them and lift them up.
I wish I could remember the reference to the scripture, but Jesus said himself that when you visit these people in jail, it's like you're visiting Jesus in jail.
Right.
When you provide their needs, it's like you're providing his needs. And so we are encouraged in scripture to do that too, to remember them and care for them.
Right.
So definitely a very worthwhile and noble organization.
I think so too. When Richard Wurmbrand was arrested and imprisoned in Romania, Sabina also was sent to a labor camp to forced labor on the Danube River. And they had a 10-year-old son named Mikhail, who was then left alone to fend for himself. Those that helped him then were persecuted as well. There was one lady that tried to help him, but she was, I don't remember exactly what happened to her, but she was reprimanded for helping him. And so it was very difficult for a little 10-year-old boy to be on his own. Voice of the Martyrs, Richard Wurmbrand remembered that experience with his own son and didn't want that to happen to other families and children of martyrs.
You mentioned the difficulty that you face as a representative of Voice of the Martyrs in spreading the message around within the Twin Cities area. Can you talk about that a little bit too?
I think talking about the persecuted church is hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to talk about it. It brings sadness to us to hear how people are suffering. And then it's hard to bring suffering to other people listening to sad stories. We all want to hear a happy story with a happy ending. But it kind of reminds me a little bit of the story of Jesus when he fed the 5,000. And all the people were following him. And they wanted more manna, essentially. And they said to him, "Moses gave us manna in the desert, so you need to do something even better than Moses." And they were looking to God like that he would make them happy and comfortable and supply all their needs. And it's kind of a prosperity Christianity sort of message. But Jesus was looking for disciples that were willing to give their lives for him, to give it all, to lay down their life. And he said, "I am the bread of life." And it wasn't Moses that gave you that manna. It was God that gave you the manna. And if you want the bread of life, essentially what that means is taking up your cross and following me. And even Christians don't like to hear that. We would rather hear, "God will solve all your problems and life will be great." So it's kind of a hard message, but it's a good message. Mm-hmm. It's been challenging for me to hear the stories of what people have gone through in other parts of the world, not only giving me an appreciation for the freedoms of religion we have here and for how fragile they are, how our freedoms are being chipped away slowly and steadily here, and we've kind of got our head in the sand. But we also have to be like our brothers and sisters of the persecuted church, and that we have to realize that when we accept Christ as our Savior, what that really means is we accept him as Lord of our life, and we're willing to lay down our lives for him. Mm-hmm. I'm always impressed by the testimonies of the persecuted when they say, "Don't ask that persecution stops. Ask that God is brought glory through this and that many become Christians." This woman in Colombia, whose husband died, she said she dragged his dead body over to a tree and brought out the Bible. And as people came to see him, she preached to them. She told them about Christ. She told them about Christ's love and forgiveness and about how her husband had died so that they might come to know Christ. And that's a powerful thing. And God is using that. When Pastor Lee's church in China was shut down, he had a house church there, and he was sent to jail, and his church was shut down. 40 new house churches sprung up.
Wow.
And in Romania, when the persecution was at its greatest, Christianity grew by 300%. So being a Christian in these parts of the world is hard, but we should have the same attitude and as a Christian, being willing to give it all for Christ, mm-hmm. being willing to lay down our life for Him, being willing to make Him Lord, sovereign, whatever you want to do with me, God, if that includes suffering and death, not just give me manna so I'm happy and comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of ironic you talk about that. I did an interview that I posted a little over a year ago with Justin Peters. And Justin is a Baptist minister that travels around the country and teaches the falsity of the word of faith, prosperity gospel. And he labors very hard to get the message out that we're actually promised persecution and difficulty when we come into the family of God. But this teaching, the Joel Osteens and the Jesse Duplantis and, these word of faith guys that try to teach that, well, God wants you happy and He wants you prosperous. And He does, but not necessarily in this life, And Justin made the point that I think you'll appreciate that. Try taking that message to the North Korean Christians or the Chinese Christians or those in Iran or Saudi Arabia.
Right.
They'll mock you. I mean, they realize that it's empty.
Richard Wurmbrand brought his youth group to the zoo. He said, I had no Bible, and I had no Bible for so long I hadn't even any verses in my head. But he brought his youth group, his young people, to the zoo, and in front of the lions exhibit, he said, Daniel was put into the lion's den for his faith, and you may also face persecution if you choose to follow Christ. And in Romania, you were bound to face persecution if you followed Christ. Mm-hmm. But those kids accepted Christ knowing that.
Also, I think it's interesting to maybe mention how you and I first met just a few weeks ago at the Signet Ring Watch Conference.
Right.
Which raises the issue that the day's coming when we're all going to be facing hard persecution, great tribulation. So it might be good to recognize what's going on in other parts of the world to strengthen us to
right.
be ready when that comes here.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it said that there are some faithful brothers and sisters in China who actually pray that persecution might come to America because it has made their church stronger, and they hope that if it came here, it would make our church stronger too.
It would make the church stronger. Persecution has that blessed effect.
So what can we do as Americans? Your ministry isn't just to tell us what goes on in the rest of the world, but you've said we can help them by these care packages and such. But what else can we do?
Well, we have on our website, we have daily prayer updates, so you can find out what's going on around the world and pray knowledgeably. You can hear the testimonies of believers in those parts of the world and learn about what countries are suffering and what kind of suffering is going on, so you can pray more knowledgeably. You can pray with people's names. You can be informed that way too. The newsletter that we have, Voice of the Martyrs newsletter, we send out monthly, also has the testimonies of many people in different parts of the world. In Colombia, we actually made, we have special projects that we do occasionally, like they have in Colombia, they have a pilot that sends Bibles and other literature through parachutes, and we get to make parachutes that say God is love, and then they attach the Bibles to them and fly them over Colombia and send them down.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully some FARC guerrillas are getting them and turning to Christ. And then we have the Bibles Unbound program that you talked about
mm-hmm.
as well.
No, yeah, I've always gotten Christian Bibles through it. And like I said, we've been doing it for probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years now. I can't remember when we got started, but I've never gotten anything but Christian Bibles, but they do send them out to other places of the world. I specifically remember Egypt, but I think there were a couple other places too.
I think primarily it's been China. That's all I've seen so far too. But
I just remember seeing a checkbox on the website when I signed up saying I could either pick a country or I could just say send it to wherever it's needed most.
Right.
And I check where it's needed most.
China's where it's needed most.
I always get the Chinese one.
We have a pastor support program too, where you can monthly support a pastor in a part of the world that's trying to minister despite great hardship.
Mm-hmm. That's really, I think... Well, don't underemphasize that. I think that's really important. Because, you know, I've thought a lot about missionary work. I've got a friend that's a missionary in Ukraine. If you go back to episode 2 that I did, I talked to him about missions in the Ukraine. And I think was it Paul Washer made the point, one of those guys that they've had on made the point that it's actually more effective to support a native in the country that you're interested in than it is to equip an American to go preach the gospel.
Right, right.
So I don't think that, I think it's worth really emphasizing.
Yes.
That's a great program.
It is a great program to help the pastors and their families. Mm-hmm. It's a monthly support, monetary support. But you get a packet that includes their name and picture, and you get to know their family and... Mm-hmm.
Is it kind of like Compassion then, where rather than a child,
you get a pastor and his family?
Awesome.
It's a good program. We also have blankets for Sudan that we'll send blankets there for them, and other special projects that we do. VOM also has a medical team. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, when someone's been persecuted, they need medical help. Mm-hmm. And so we help provide medical assistance to them and their families. So those are some of the programs that Voice of the Martyr does. Yes, and of course we pray.
Mm-hmm. I'm just dying. I think this is great to talk about the things we can do, but I know my interest in hearing Voice of the Martyrs and discussing Voice of the Martyrs is always to hear about the countries. And we talked about China, and we talked a little bit about Colombia, but I know if I'm interested in it, and I'm sure some of our listeners probably are too, and I just wonder, can we go through, you listed a bunch of countries, maybe even if we only spend a minute or two on each country, just whatever you can.
I tell you what, I'll give you our prayer updates and tell you what's going on. Like in Kazakhstan, recently there were two Christian brothers, Victor and Diedrich Levin. They were convicted of participating in a religious workshop without state registration. And so they were fined and deported back to they were German citizens, so they were deported back to Germany. In addition, another in the same country in Kazakhstan, on November 5th, Firuza Uteganova, if I'm pronouncing that wrong, I'm sorry, she was also convicted and fined for giving a 12-year-old child a Christian magazine, and she faces persecution in Kazakhstan.
And Kazakhstan is a Muslim country?
Mm-hmm, primarily Muslim.
Mm-hmm. They're also a former Soviet bloc, I believe?
Yes. A lot of the Muslim countries believe that if you share your faith, they charge you with blasphemy charges. Mm-hmm. So you cannot share your faith legally in those Muslim countries. We talked about China and the house churches. In Uganda, on November 1st, more than 39 Muslim extremists armed with machetes and clubs attacked the World Possessors Church International in Mombasa, just outside the capital city in Uganda, while they were holding a worship service. And when the church members heard the Muslims outside, they gathered at the front door to try to prevent them from entering. Some believers were able to escape through the rear door. When the Muslims noticed one of the Christians taking pictures of them, they beat him severely. So there's a lot of persecution in Uganda with the Muslims and the Christians again here.
Mm-hmm. I presume you mentioned Sudan earlier. I presume that's a lot of the same. Darfur is
yes,
kind of in the limelight. But
We had good news, somewhat good news in Pakistan. Well, the same kind of trouble with the Muslims and blasphemy charges that happened with a couple of women. But this one particular woman, on October 14, Asia Bibi, appeared in court. And she was working on this farm with a Muslim landowner. And the women working together on the farm were just chatting about their faith. And the Muslim women shared their Muslim faith. So Asia shared her faith, her Christianity faith, and she said how Christ had died on the cross for our sins. And then she told them that Christ is alive, Jesus is alive, and our Christ is the true prophet of God. And of course, that greatly offended the Muslim women, and so they beat her. Oh. And she was then locked in a room. Then they announced from mosque loudspeakers that she would be punished by having her face blackened, and she would be paraded through the village on a donkey. But local Christians found out about that, and they rescued her. However, the police are still going to give blasphemy charges against her, and so she's still needed in prayer. But she's a brave woman to share her faith, knowing that there's such violent hostility to it. And in Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, where there's a high concentration of Muslims, women and men, children that are Christians are always in danger if they share their faith. They're in Iran, Maryam and Marzia were freed. A lot of times they were put in prison again for because the government labeled them as anti-government activists for their faith in Christ. And that's something else that happens, is a lot of unfair charges.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully,
I think the communists will say the same thing a lot of times. They'll say,
right,
being a Christian is an anti-government.
Right, because that's a United States religion or, you know, Western religion. And
well, it's I think it has to do with the perception of authority. And the communist governments want to be the ultimate authority for their people. They don't want anybody looking higher than them to God or to Jesus Christ.
Right. The communists consider themselves God, the government.
Yeah, a lot of communist leaders have tried to replace God with themselves. Mao Zedong and Kim Il-sung and Stalin.
Right. One thing that's nice about Voice of the Martyrs and these updates, too, is since we can write letters to the different embassies, or we can even write letters to the prisoners, but we can apply political pressure. Mm-hmm. And I went to a conference in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, where a man was there from Cuba, and he had a printing press in his house where he printed Bibles and other Christian literature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the government came in and took out his printing press and arrested him. Voice of the Martyrs found out about his situation, and so we started praying. We started contacting the government, requesting respectfully for his release.
Mm-hmm.
And like 3 days later, he came back, and his printing press came back. So sometimes Christians here, us Christians here, can apply some pressure, and we end up with good results. Like in the case in Iran, Maryam and Marzi, they're both free now.
That's great. That's awesome.
So there's good news that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
Things we can do, and we can see a direct result from it. We're trying that with Gayo in China, writing lots of letters and petitioning for his release as well.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
In Iran, a church was recently closed. Believers in Iran are thanking the recent wave of media and web-based attacks on Christian media, satellite channels, and evangelistic activities. They're thankful because those demonstrate the Iranian government intent to prevent Christians from worshiping. Because even though the government has not given reasons for shutting down this most recent church, it's the Central Assemblies of God Church, was forced to shut down its services, we stand in support of these persecuted believers in Iran.
Well, I'm curious about, do you know anything about India? What's going on in India? I know India has some parts that are overly Christian. There's a lot of Christians, but then they have a lot of, I forget, North and South India. One is heavily Hindu and the other is more Christian.
Right.
But I hear of a lot of persecution coming out of the Hindu parts of India.
I don't have any specific examples, but that's true. I have friends there that are missionaries in India, and I pray for them to be safe because It can be dangerous. So far, they've been protected from danger, but it is one of the areas that's on our list.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we could just pray for some of these believers. I've got a list of believers' names we could pray for.
Yeah. Because it's a podcast, it's a little bit more timeless than a radio show.
Okay.
You know, it might be a year before, you know, somebody might pick this up 2-3 years from now and listen to it for the first time. But definitely, I think prayer is something that we could definitely do.
Would you like me to pray then?
Sure.
Okay. Father, we just pray for the persecuted church. I would pray that we here in the Minneapolis area and in the United States would remember them. We would remember that they are suffering, that they're in prison, that they're tortured, that they're harassed and beaten, and sometimes even murdered for their faith. I would like to pray that those that are being persecuted would be brave to endure, that they would have the courage to share their faith and fulfill the Great Commission. Us as well, in areas where we aren't persecuted. Help them not to compromise. Help them to remain steadfast despite their hardship and persecution. Help many souls to be saved because of their testimony. May their persecutors come to know Christ. May the FARC guerrillas come to know Christ. May the communists come to know Christ. I ask you to take care of their families, the families of martyrs that are left and abandoned, that don't have enough to eat, that are frightened about their safety. Please give them help and comfort. I ask that believers would have access to Bibles and materials to help them grow in their faith. And specifically, I want to pray for Asia Bibi and Gulshar Mahshi from Pakistan, Pastor Hua, Alaminji Zhuang Yimitri, Mengu Tang, Li Ying, and Shi Wingheng, Gayo Zhejiang from China. I'd like to pray for Marzia and Marianne from Iran and thank you for their release. I pray for Heli Nagsi from Eritrea and Dr. Kifu Gebremeskel from Eritrea. I pray for Dmitry Shestakov from Uzbekistan and for Kong Nam from Vietnam. Thank you for hearing and thank you for the many unnamed martyrs that are suffering in these parts of the world. Thank you for loving us and for being sovereign and all-powerful. We give thanks for the faith of these people. I pray that the eyes and hearts of those who persecute them may be open to Jesus. Help them, as well as us, to consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared within the glory that will be revealed in them. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Amen.
Thank you. Anything you want to close with? Maybe you can tell us more about how people can learn more, where they can go. The website?
Yes, our website is www.persecution.com. And if you're interested in a newsletter, the Voice of the Martyr newsletter, you can sign up on the website. And
I get the newsletter too. I don't always have time to read it, but it's good. It's good to get it.
Yeah.
It's good to have it so that you can see. Even just having it show up in the mail at least triggers in your mind that there are others in the world that need your help and your prayer.
Right.
I occasionally get a book once in a while.
I was going to mention that. There's Richard Wurmbrand's autobiography, Torture for Christ, which is a very inspirational and challenging read. And there's other books that Voice of the Martyrs has that would be very helpful in learning about the persecuted church, the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and Heart for Iran, just to name a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Very good reading.
I think I just recently got one.
That's
by your founder,
one.
Richard Wurmbrand, Marx and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
It's in my to-read pile. But,
it's in my to-read pile, too. I just got that copy, too.
Yeah. Right. It was just sent unsolicited just because I'm on their newsletter list, I presume. Mm-hmm. But every so often, they just send me a book. it's a very neat ministry. I really appreciate it, and I thank you so much
for coming in to
talk about it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, the reason why I met you was because you were working together with Conquering King Fellowship to try and partner. Not all my listeners are here in the Twin Cities, but some of them are. And What can we do in the Twin Cities if maybe people want to have you come speak to their church? Or
they can contact me. Okay. I would love for them. I'd love to speak at anybody's church and tell a little bit about the ministry. Mm-hmm. That would be wonderful.
Or if you've got an event or something that they have an event, they might want to partner with you. You had a table at the the Watch Conference.
And I can have a resource table with some of those books that we've been talking about and share that way too.
Okay. So what's the best way to contact you?
Well, my email is rcclarinet@gmail.com. Or my phone number is 952-440-6597.
Okay. And are you able to help people get connected with representatives in their area?
Yes.
If somebody calls from somewhere else in the country and wants to learn more?
Oh, sure. I could do that, too. Yeah. Oh,
great.
I could do that, too.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming. And it was great. Great to have you. It's a great topic.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time and interest.
Yeah. And thank you to your husband, John, for accompanying you. Nice to meet you both.
Thank you.
Thanks. So that does it for another episode. I just want to say thanks again to Becky for coming on out. And again, it might not have been crystal clear when she gave her email address. I'll give that once again. If you want to contact her, RC, as in Rebecca Christensen, clarinet, as in the instrument, @gmail.com. So rcclarinet@gmail.com is where you can reach her. But thank you again for coming back and listening to another episode of Echo Zoe Radio. And I look forward to being back again in December. So until then, have a happy Thanksgiving.